Hello, and welcome back to Maya's Reviews, a podcast and blog where I review all types of movies and novels. I'm Maya, and thank you for joining me for a movie franchise review today. Thank you for your patience with the camera not working for two-ish episodes and for, you know, me being absent for a long time. I'm hoping, recording this right now, that the camera will work and then I will be able to have video for you as well. All I have is a crappy little webcam, so we're dealing with it. So we're hoping that works. But just thank you for your patience. And I'm pretty much just going to get right into it. Today, I am going to be talking about the Insidious franchise, and especially the fifth one, but, you know, just the franchise overall. So, let's get right into my review. Now, there are five Insidious movies out so far. Three of them kind of connect to each other. I mean, they all connect, right? But three of them follow the Lambert family. So the first one came out in 2010 and was directed by James Wan, as was Insidious 2 in 2013. And then Insidious 3 in 2015 was directed by Leigh Whannell. I apologize if I pronounce anyone's names wrong. I research, but not that far, okay? Insidious 4 in 2018, called The Last Key, I'm pretty sure, was directed by Adam Robitel, I think? I think the mailman's here. Damn. Okay. Damn. She really went off with that. Poppy's back. She's three now. Guys, can you believe that? Anyways, Insidious 4 was directed by Adam Robitel, I'm pretty sure, in 2018. Insidious 5, 2023, called The Red Door, was directed by Patrick Wilson. Some reappearing cast and characters include Patrick Wilson, who plays Josh Lambert, Rose Byrne, who plays Renee Lambert, Ty Simpkins, who plays Dalton Lambert, Lynn Shay, who plays Elise Rayner, Leigh Whannell, who plays Steven or Specs, and Angus Sampson, who plays Tucker. Now, all of these movies are Blumhouse movies, and the overall budget that I found for all five of these movies is approximately $42.5 million. Box office ended up being around $728.6 million, so pretty good. The average rating on Letterboxd for each of these movies is as follows. For Insidious, it is 3.2 out of 5 stars. Insidious 2, 3 out of 5 stars. Insidious 3, 2.5 out of 5 stars. Insidious 4, 2.4 out of 5 stars, and then the same for Insidious 5, The Red Door, 2.4 out of 5 stars. Now, I went and saw Insidious 5 in theaters. I had actually never seen any of the other Insidious movies before the new one came out, and then when the new one came out, I decided I want to watch these anyways, I might as well, and go see this one in theaters. So I did see The Red Door in theaters. And straight off the bat, before I get into my review of anything, I mean, this is more of a ranking discussion type thing than a review because I personally, I don't know, I'm not gonna go too in depth with many of the movies, maybe the fifth one, because that one I remember the best and it was my favorite. Don't know if that's controversial, since it is the fifth movie, but I did enjoy Insidious 5, The Red Door, more than any of the other movies. So I guess I'll just get right into my ranking of the Insidious franchise. For me, I would say Insidious 5 is my number one, right? I rated that one 3.5 out of 5 stars. Next would be the original Insidious, which was also 3.5 out of 5 stars. Then we have Insidious 2 at 2.5 out of 5 stars. Insidious 4, The Last Key, at I think 2.5 out of 5 stars was my rating. And then Insidious 3 is in last with my rating of 1.5 out of 5 stars. Now, straight off the bat, I'm just going to say horror movies take a lot to scare me. To stick with me and scare me takes a lot. In the moment, jump scares, sure, they'll get me if they're effective and they're used correctly. And that's the thing that Insidious does do, is they use jump scares correctly. I find myself being scared a lot more by paranormal movies than any other horror movie, except for found footage. And then when you combine found footage and paranormal, it's great for me. I don't know why paranormal movies scare me so much. I think it has more to do with if that were a real thing, what can you really do against an entity? You can't really do a lot except maybe get an exorcism, but those never work in movies, so you're pretty much screwed. So I don't know. These movies don't stick with me and scare me, but I will say in the moment watching them, they are very tense. And I think the entire Insidious franchise is great at utilizing jump scares to really build tension and then follow through with it. They don't just, because jump scares are so overused, I feel, a lot of the time. But I feel like Insidious does a great job of not doing that and, you know, not overusing it and actually using it in an effective way. So I don't know. But let's get into more of a movie-by-movie basis. So Insidious, the first one, came out in 2010. I rated that one 3.5 out of 5 stars. Now, I will say, although I think Insidious, I do enjoy the movies. Are they fantastic movies? I feel like they're a little bit stereotypical. And as someone who is more frightened by paranormal movies, these aren't terrifying to me. I mean, jump scares may make me jump a little like they're supposed to, but it's not something that keeps me up at night, right? And I think part of that does have to do with the fact that all 5 of these movies are PG-13 movies. And so I do think they are great movies for people who are getting into horror, because they are effective. And some of them are fun. Some of them are iffy for me. But let's get into Insidious. I have my phone here because I don't have the synopsis memorized. So this is the premise of Insidious from 2010. It's not the house that's haunted. A family discovers that dark spirits have invaded their home after their son inexplicably falls into an endless sleep. When they reach out to a professional for help, they learn things are a lot more personal than they thought. So this movie, knowing pretty much nothing else from the other movies, right, I do think it does a great job of building tension. And I think when you bring kids into a horror movie too, obviously that always makes it 10 times worse. I think the acting is pretty well done. The script, from what I remember, because I'm going to be honest, it's been like a month since I binge-watched all 5 of these movies. from what I remember, I did enjoy it. Overall, the movie was really effective for me, but, you know, there are some things that could have been better. It's almost a 4-star movie for me, but I think I'm gonna stick that one at 3.5 stars, just because there were parts where I was, like, kind of bored. But then when I got into the actual horror aspects, then I was really into it. And so I do think Insidious is really effective with its horror aspects, but the plot can be a little slow-moving at times, and so I think that's where it really falls for me. And then Insidious 2 also follows the Lambert family. So Insidious 2, released in 2013, its premise is, it will take what you love most. The haunted Lambert family seeks to uncover the mysterious childhood secret that has left them dangerously connected to the spirit world. So I guess I should probably go into what in the plot of Insidious is. Basically, in the first movie, what's his name, Dalton Lambert, finds himself in this dreamlike state. Why am I forgetting the name of it? It's like those dreams where you're conscious and you can kind of do what you want, but they end up connecting to the spirit world, which isn't great when they want to possess your child. And so all these little demon guys are trying to possess Dalton, right? And in the second movie, they go further into why that is that it runs in the family for their family to lucid dream. I remembered the name. And Josh Lambert, Dalton's father, used to have the same issue when he was a child, right? And so they kind of go more into his side of the story, where he's trying to uncover all these memories, because in order to protect Josh and Dalton from the spirit world, they tried to get rid of those memories of them lucid dreaming so they wouldn't lucid dream anymore, and which works for a time, but Insidious 5 exists for a reason, so, you know. And then once we get to Insidious 3, it kind of drifts away from the Lambert family and goes and follows this one girl whose name I forget, but I'm pretty sure she was in either Ant Farm or Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I remember her from something. Half of these people, I just don't know. And so, but this one follows Lynn Shay's character, Elise Rayner, who is kind of their medium, and she's helping this other family out. And so this one is my least favorite of the Insidious movies. I think there are some cool things in it, and I think there are some cool scenes, but overall, I was kind of bored. It's kind of the same thing over and over at this point for me. I mean, it was basically the same thing as the first movie for me, and I don't know. I didn't like it as much as the other ones. Insidious The Last Key follows Lynn Shay's character, Elise Rayner, so the premise of that movie. Fear Comes Home. Parapsychologist Elise Rayner and her team travel to Five Keys, New Mexico, to investigate a man's claim of a haunting. Terror soon strikes when Rayner realizes that the house he lives in was her family's old home. So that kind of goes into more of her background, and I will say, the characters of, I think it's Specs and Tucker, they're kind of her, like, what would you call it? Assistants, backup, idiots. They kind of annoy me. I feel like, here's my take on this. If you're going to be ghost hunters, maybe get good at ghost hunting. I feel like if you're gonna promise to families that you're going to save their children and make them not be possessed, you should probably know what you're doing, and you probably shouldn't fall asleep like they do in the first movie. And at first, I found their characters amusing, but after four movies, I was slowly losing my mind. And no hate to the actors, the characters were driving me insane. And then in the fifth movie, they aren't in that one as much, which was kind of nice. They have a little cameo, but it's not so much. They do add humor in the first and second movie, I would say, but overall, I got kind of annoyed after a while. I think I can only handle so much goofiness from those two, but, you know. I rated that one 2.5 out of 5 stars because I think it was interesting and I did have fun watching it, but it wasn't my favorite. And then we get to Insidious 5, The Red Door. Now, this one, I went and saw in theaters and I actually really, really enjoyed it. It does have this, for me, I rated it the same as the first Insidious, but I do think my enjoyment level was higher than the original Insidious movie. This one kind of reminds me of Scream 2, where Dalton Lambert is all grown up and he goes off to college and then he starts having lucid dreams again. And, you know, I think it was kind of cool how they brought it back to the Lambert family, because I think that's what I really enjoyed about Insidious, was that it was following that family. And so it's kind of, there's five movies, but there's kind of the Lambert trilogy, and then there's the two other movies And so I think it was cool how they brought it back. And then this one is directed by Patrick Wilson, who plays Josh Lambert, and he's also a big part in this movie. But I also think it's cool how they brought back the original cast. Ty Simpkins and the actor who plays his little brother were both brought back for this, which I think is really cool. Now, the premise of the fifth movie, which came out, I think, literally in July, June, around there, but 2023, face your demons. To put their demons to rest once and for all, Josh Lambert and a college-aged Dalton Lambert must go deeper into the further than ever before, facing their family's dark past and a host of new and more horrifying terrors that lurk behind the red door. Forgot to mention the realm or space or whatever you want to call it that they go to when they're lucid dreaming and they're in this little demon world they call the further. And it's basically, I guess you could kind of compare it to like the upside down in Stranger Things, except it's not a physical place, I don't think. It's more of a mental realm type thing. Because obviously in the upside down, it's a real thing, right, in Stranger Things. But in this, it's more of a mental realm that they go to when they're lucid dreaming, and it's host to all these dark creatures and demons and ghosts and all these things that want to possess people and harm people and all these things. And so in this one, I think it's actually really cool, the college aspect of it all, because you get to see Dalton grow up, first of all, and then you get to see him rediscover all these things. Because the original movie, all the stuff that was happening to him, right? He was the one who almost got possessed by the, whatever he is, the lipstick demon or something like that. I don't know. but I think it was kind of cool. And then you have, you know, him going to frat parties and all this stuff. And there are some nasty scenes. Just if you don't like people throwing up, I do not recommend Insidious 5, The Last Door, or The Red Door. I just combined 4 and 5. Because there's just some scenes. There's at least one scene that just, it sticks out. It's borderline traumatizing. I mean, really weirdly, grossly cool, but also just disgusting. So, Insidious 5, for me, I had a lot more fun with, and I think part of it was because I did get to see it in theaters, and also it was bringing it back to the original Lambert family, but it was kind of, you know, it was the kid grown up and dealing with this now as an adult, and still having the rest of the family involved with it, especially Josh, right? Josh Lambert. And I think it's cool because they wrap it up. In the second movie, it's kind of like they leave the second movie with both Josh and Dalton having been hypnotized to forget lucid dreaming. But the thing is you're like, well, guys, in the second movie, it's explained that Josh, as a child, was also hypnotized, and then that didn't really help anything, because then he had kids, and one of those kids had this happen to him, and he had no idea what was going on, and couldn't help him. And so, I feel like it was kind of, it wasn't a cliffhanger in the second movie, but it was a little bit of just stuff could still go wrong. And then with this, I feel like there's more of a definitive ending to it, which I think is nice, because I think just keeping it at this little trilogy is good. Honestly, I would not want to see another Insidious movie. I feel like there are a lot of aspects throughout all five that are very, very similar, and I think that's where 3 and 4 really bored me, honestly, is because it's the same old thing over and over, just with different families. And so that's the thing, is I feel like if you keep going on with the Lamberts, it's just gonna get old, which I know that hasn't stopped horror franchises in the past, but I'm just saying I don't think it's necessary for another Insidious movie. And I know I've talked a lot of shit about these movies, honestly, but I do think they are worth seeing, especially 1, 2, and 5. 4, I would definitely also, you know, it's worth checking out. And then 3, I don't know. Personally, it just wasn't for me. I just didn't really enjoy it. But I'm sure there's people out there who love that movie. And, you know, one of my favorite movies is The Lost Boys 1987. So who am I to judge? Speaking of which, I got a Lost Boys poster, which will hopefully soon hang up next to my Indiana Jones Temple of Doom poster, which would be really cool. So, Lost Boys, guys. And if Caleb from Horror Soup sees this, I apologize. I know he hates that movie. It's Vampire Bikers, dude. I don't know what else to say. I'll admit, it's a bad movie, okay? I'm not saying it's good. I just personally like it, you know? But this probably just because of Kiefer Sutherland in a leather jacket, so I don't know. And Billy Worth. And whoever plays Michael, who I'm forgetting now at this point. And the star. So all I'm saying is, who am I to judge? My favorite movie is Lost Boys. I can't really complain about anything anymore, can I? So, at least I'm self-aware, okay? I don't know. I think this franchise is definitely worth seeing. I think it's a great starter for horror movies. You know, if you've never really watched any before, I really think it's worth seeing. And it might be controversial, I don't know. I just really enjoyed the 5th movie more than any of the others. And it might have to do with me seeing it in theaters, but I really enjoyed that movie. And so, I don't know. Yeah, I think they've talked about making an Insidious 6, and I'm curious to see where they would go with it, because if they're going with a different family, I don't know. Because the thing is I feel like the demons, this may sound stupid, but the demons that they've had in these movies have gotten progressively lamer. Like, they're just not as cool. And first of all, Insidious, the red lipstick demon thing, maybe I'll have him pop up right here, I don't know. That one, first of all, is kind of like, okay, like, that's kind of goofy. Like leading up to the reveal, it sounds cool as hell. And then you get to the reveal, and it's like, oh, uh-huh, yeah, totally. And so, I don't know. I feel like the second movie, I like the creepy lady, because, like, creepy ladies just kind of creep me out, you know? That's what they're supposed to do, they're creepy ladies. And I don't know. I feel like they've gotten progressively worse. I don't even remember the demon in the 3rd movie. I'm gonna be so honest. I just know he left, like, little, like, tracks along the floor. Take a bath, dude. You know? No excuse, even if you're in the afterlife. No excuse. Take a shower. I don't know. Pioneers could do it. Demons can do it, too, you know? So, I don't know. I think it's worthwhile seeing. Is it the best franchise I've ever seen? By no means. But I did enjoy the movies, and I did enjoy the experience I had watching them. And so I think it's worth seeing. Recommend it. And yeah, that's kind of it. There's not really a lot to talk about. Some of them I just don't like, some of them I do like. But yeah, that is basically the end of my review of the Insidious franchise. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com. Check out my podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're listening to just the audio version, I will have a video version, hopefully, up on YouTube, maybe Spotify. Don't know how that works, really. Kind of scared of it. We'll see. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads, TikTok, BookBub, and BookSirens. I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews, on Facebook at Maya Reviews, and Instagram at ML Grimley. If you want me to review your book, come on the podcast, just anything publicity related, please email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, anything like that, that you check my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. It just makes it easier so that you have all the information I need when you send me an email, so I don't have to ask for it and back and forth. Just easier, you know? So thank you so much for listening, watching, hopefully, if my camera finally works. I apologize if I was not looking at the camera very much. If you're watching the visual version, don't like eye contact. And I am not used to this anymore, so it has been months. So thank you so much for watching and listening. And if you want to, if you can, I highly recommend watching the Insidious franchise.